afternoon. Greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Thank you once again for tuning in for an hour of prophetic facts. The website that carries what I'm about to share with you and a lot more is www.remnantofgod.org. I pray what I'm about to share with you will become a blessing to both you and your loved ones, and I also pray that you'll be able to share it with as many as possible in the days ahead. Now, ordinarily, this is that time of the month when we have Pastor Sessler from Let There Be Light Ministries at lightministries.com on the program. But we had to push it up just about a week or so. And if everything goes as planned, we'll be able to start doing a series on the Mark of the Beast next week. This week's broadcast, however, has a bit more dirt on London. And it's not just about the bombers this time. It seems London, like Canada, has decided to go over the deep end and jump into graphic prophetic fulfillment. And it's strange to see this happening so openly. You know, one would think they would seek to hide such decadence, but seeing how we are in the last days of Earth's history, the devil already knows he has the majority of the people on Earth in his camp anyway, so hiding such things is no longer a prerequisite with him. So, especially since no one's reading Bibles. This is why he concentrated his attack on the Bible in these last days. He needed to be able to do this openly, what he's doing now. And if people knew of his plans, as the remnant does, if everybody knew of this, then he would be unable to continue on. So the prophecy of Amos chapter 8 verse 11 was an easy to see necessity. At the same time, this allows him the opportunity to try the faith of those that do understand prophecy, and he hopes to scare them into submission or whatever. So stand firm, people. Soon you will understand how valuable such attacks can be to the Christian character. It teaches us to trust the Father in heaven more and more at every turn. And you will need to trust him a lot more when they start to actually enforce the Vatican's mark upon all mankind. So avoid the rush at the end and start embracing Jesus now and his loving truth, the scriptures. I mean, if you haven't already learned to walk closely with the Lord when the trials grow in intensity, then they're going to be way too difficult for you to endure. So one of two things are going to happen with you. One, you'll fail miserably and then accept the mark of the beast and be forever sealed for damnation. Or two, you will be allowed to die the death of a martyr. You know, because you're only going to be judged by the light you're given anyway. So only those that have the relationship with Jesus Christ as such that allows them to be able to stand during the plagues of Revelation will be standing during the plagues of Revelation. The Gideon band or the 144,000, however you describe them. So anyway, before moving on, I have yet another photo I need to share it with everybody again. And I know this is strange to be talking about photos on radio, but if you're listening, just like we did last week, and you're near a computer, and if you're not, like if you're driving down the road listening to this in Florida or wherever else this comes off on AM and FM, you can get these broadcasts from the website 24/7. And they also repeat this broadcast throughout the week anyway. So, but anyway, if you're near a computer, please go to remnantofgod.org and surf to the warnings section of the website and click the London link, the one that says what happened in London. And now click, when you get to that page, click the pictorial evidence link. It's just a page link. It'll drop you down to that specific area of that page. And then, where the pictures start. You know, we talked about the other pictures that are in there. I'm not going to go over those again. What I want you to do is just scroll down until you see a bus, the bus that blew up. You know, they had the subway explosions, and they had that one bus. Now, when you see this, you can't miss it. It's the red bus with all the people standing in the top. The top of the bus is gone. I guess they blew the top off. What I want you to take careful note of is that white minivan in front of the bus. Okay, and by the way, this picture was removed from the news websites that originally I saw them on earlier, so I had to get them from a friend that had them already on his system, because I think I did pull it off of the internet, but I forgot where I put it on the hard drive. So a friend of the ministry that's probably in the chat room right now gave me this picture. So anyway, this is a picture they didn't want to have on the internet, I guess, because of the minivan that's in front of the bus. Notice the minivan, it says on the side, King Star, and then it's got this big golden star with the, you know, for its logo. Okay, now underneath this picture, you'll see a link that actually goes to the website for King Star in London. Okay, it explains what they do. So click it if you're near your computer. And for those of you that aren't, King Star's website describes it as a professional demolition company. Whoever snapped the photo did so a bit too quick for that van to get out of the area after the blast. And at first, I didn't think much of it, but now that they removed it from the websites, like the news magazines that I originally saw them on, it seems a bit obvious that they're trying to hide or protect their demolition experts. Were they there to gloat over their work? Were they there to inspect the damage? You know, or you know, who knows? It just seems a bit strange, is all. And I thought it would be worth noting. So there you have it. And by the way, I want to thank Roy from the United Kingdom for sending those newspaper clippings with the doctored photos in them, big as life. He airmailed me a page from the Sunday Telegraph, specifically page 6 of July 24, 2005 edition. So thank you again, Roy. I'll be keeping this in my famous black bulging filing cabinet. I also plan to scan a copy for online as soon as possible. Now, I know I said I had a bit more dirt on London outside the normal bombings and such, but this first article snuck its way to the top of the stack merely because it appeared to be from London, England. I just didn't catch it at first until I started reading into it. So it's from London, Kentucky, no less. But, you know, in any event, I can no longer allow the story, you know, of this caliber to sit at the bottom of the pile. I've been meaning to speak on this or give you my thoughts on it since it came to me back in May. Well, actually in June. It came out on May 31st from the Associated Press. But then you had the bombings and all that stuff the week after, and this thing ended up on the bottom of the pile. I apologize for that. Headline reads, Judge's Offer, Church or Jail. The article goes on to say, a judge has been offering some drug and alcohol offenders to obtain the option of attending worship services instead of going to jail or rehab, a practice some say violates the separation of church and state. District Judge Michael Caperton, 50, a devout Christian, said his goal is to help people and their families. I don't think there's a church and state issue because it's not mandatory, and I say worship services instead of church, he said. Technicalities are a lie, too. You know, I mean, if you... I'll get back to that in a minute. Anyway, continuing, the article says alternative sentencing is popular across the country, ordering vandals to repaint a graffiti-covered wall, for example, but legal experts said they didn't know of any other judges who give the option of attending church. Caperton has offered the option about 50 times to repeat drug and alcohol offenders. It is unclear what effect the sentence had. As far as I'm concerned, these guys are thinking, yahoo, we're off scot-free. You know, go to church, come on. You know, these guys don't believe in church. I mean, they're drug offenders, okay, or alcoholics. They don't get into church as much as somebody who wouldn't do drugs and alcohol. Now, sometimes, of course, drugs and alcohol do lend, you know, steer people into church, and praise the Lord for that. But the fact of the matter is there's no case study on this. Continuing, the article says, David Friedman, a lawyer for the American Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky, said the option raises serious constitutional problems. The judge is saying that those willing to go to worship services can avoid jail in the same way that those who decline to go cannot, Friedman said. That strays from government neutrality towards religion. And some said this day would never come. Sure, it's not coming in a manner some expected, but does it ever? Satan knows perfectly well that as he moves his men in power to do his bidding in open ways, that the jig is up, and many will see his hand, and too clearly, I might add, to allow further compliance. He has to slowly but surely bring his strange ways into force by a medley of coughs and sputters. Childish technicalities like this judge stating he never said church but worship service are all the worldlings need to go along with Satan's plans. This judge is merely paving the way for other judges to add more reasons to enforce religious laws on people. His documented approval will be manipulated to the fullest extent, as was Roe v. Wade, for example, you know, in its day. The truth is, how does anybody expect to get Sunday laws into courtrooms without at least chipping away at the Constitution in the first place in this regard? This is no different than the way the Vatican has chipped away at the separation of church and state for over the last 100 years. And I'm not the only one seeing this, by the way. Back in April of 97, for example, the educational secretary stated there is really no separation between church and state, only a pile of stones here and a pile of stones there. He said that in Time magazine back on in June of 1981. And John Paul II himself was criticized by liberal and moderate politicians and newspapers for transgressing the boundary between church and state. But did that stop the rapid yet somewhat stealthy forward motion of this agenda? We actually see coming into fruition in District Judge Michael Caperton's courtroom today. Without the devil's ability to keep the people out of the Bibles today, prophetic fulfillments like this would cause a massive outrage, and many governing officials would find themselves unemployed. So keep them out of the Bibles. How many prophecies need to be fulfilled before the scoffers stop scoffing? Well, since the question is put to the floor, I would have to say all of them. Sadly, some won't believe any of this until Jesus Christ literally splits that eastern sky. Problem is, that's the very day that they're going to die, under the power of the seventh plague. Still, after the 1,000 years is over, and they're resurrected, and we're descending from above in the city of heaven, and they're still going to be manipulated to once again forget this truth. They will still claim ownership of the city of heaven as it descends from above, only to be snuffed out of existence for all eternity. And it's not like the preachers have been preaching. They're not going to be screaming at the top of their lungs for all eternity in eternal hell fire, because the Bible says it's punishment, not punishing. Having eternal punishing would be outside the character of our God. He's a loving God. He gives them the option to jump in the fire on their own. But the fire will go out one day, because it even says in Malachi chapter 4 that when the Lord does this, we're going to be walking on his ashes. I mean, the ashes of Satan and all his followers. We're going to be walking on their ashes. So, keep that in mind. All right, this first article, well, on London, the actual London, headline is, Blair plans power to close mosques, deport extremists, and so forth. On July 26, 2005, this ran in USA Today, and on August 5th, this ran in the Bloomberg Press in the United Kingdom, by the way, just to give you an idea. It says, Prime Minister Tony Blair said foreign nationals in Britain who encourage terrorism will be deported, and mosques where extremism is encouraged will be closed after two waves of bomb attacks in London last month that left 56 people dead. Britain has until now granted asylum to people fleeing persecution in other countries, including extremist Muslim clerics such as Sheikh Omar Bakri Mohammed. He has called the attackers of New York and Washington in 2000 the Magnificent 19, and said Britain may have avoided bombings by listening to al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. Is it just me, or do I see the fruits of hypocrisy here? Tony Blair, the so-called ally of Bush that has joined him in war on terrorism, is admitting to granting political asylum to terrorists? I could just see that little cartoon character with his head whipping back and forth, just, what? It's just absolute confusion. I mean, didn't Bush, his right-hand man, declare that any and all nations that helped the terrorists would be a target for American wrath? I care to venture a guess as to why no shock and awe campaigns are raining down on Tony's neighborhood? Could it be that there's no black gold or a bubbling brew or Texas tea in them thar hills? One would think all the tongue slippage that is happening, someone would have said something by now, but, the media is their grand masterpiece. Continuing, the article says, following discussions since bomb attacks in London on July 7th and July 21st, Blair said he plans policies for deportation of people who foster hatred. Foster hatred? Will this become law, and will the law be intentionally vague enough so as to allow what we saw come to light in Canada regarding the Bible becoming hate speech? Truth is, one doesn't even have to understand prophecy at this point. Recent history is all that's needed to understand now. just looking at how the Catholic Church was able to convince the United States of America into mixing racism with religious hatred so as to generate a bevy of strange laws that keeps leading to more and more freedoms for the wicked religions and more towards censuring Christianity. Or look at how Canada was able to manipulate the world, or, you know, like it's like the pearl in their hands. They just take that word, hatred, and they manipulate it in such a way into laws protecting homosexuals as well as outlawing Bibles. So yes, what we see happening in London is a no-brainer. They are actually going to make it illegal to preach truth and perfectly legal to preach lies. All right, and by the way, care to see how large the hypocrites will grow? They say they seek to stem hatred, right? Yet the whole time, they are showing hatred towards any forms and all forms of true Christianity. You know, the rights of a Satanist, or the rights of a cultist, the rights of a Wiccan, or a Muslim, or an atheist, the homosexual as well, as the Catholic, are all protected by law. But the rights of the Bible-believing Christian are censored, as well as threatened with jail time if they preach the peace of Jesus or the warnings of eternal damnation using doctrines or even verifying their, you know, the Lord's prophecies with rock-hard historic facts proving them fulfilled. I mean, any religious person outside Christianity can preach to anyone they want till they're blue in the face. They can ask you to leave your present faith. They can ask you to burn your Bibles. They can even hand you a Bible that says you must kill people that are not of your faith. Their Bibles can say those things. These people are protected by law. But the person that uses a Bible that says not to kill, a Bible that says to love your neighbor as well as your enemy, a Bible that has been proven for thousands of years to have 100% accurate prophecies, healing methods, and even life-changing doctrines that can generate peace on earth are considered hate speech and thereby stamped illegal. You'll be jailed for up to 5 years in some places if you so much as say to some people that you love them and give them a way out of their miserable, sin-filled lifestyles and guarantee them a peace-filled existence. Strange. I mean, that fact alone proves we are not fighting against men here. It is demons and doctrines of demons that, it says, "For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day." It says that right there in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Now, are you sitting down? Let me finish the article. It says, Blair said he was also considering extending the government's powers to strip citizenship from people immigrating to Britain and then are found to be acting against interests of the nation. For United Kingdom-born suspects who can't be deported, Blair said he would extend house arrest powers, which met heavy resistance in Parliament in March. But come on, folks. Remember how it met heavy resistance in the United States of America to have armed guards on airplanes, and then after 9/11, it was like accepted with open arms? Well, in March, they were having a hard time pushing this idea through in Parliament in London, and now you think they're going to have any... I mean, that, my friends, is a direct echo of Hitler and his method of control. Why is it the nations of this world keep looking to a man that actually lost a war to gain the upper hand? It's simple. They believe his idea was a good one, but it has to be embraced globally so as to prevent a problem before implementation. And guess who it was that instructed Hitler in the first place with his grand design? That's right. The Roman Catholic Church. He even got the swastika off the walls of the Vatican. It's still on them walls to this day. It's an old pagan symbol, the bent cross. It was there first. It was there hundreds of years before Hitler was born. It was their war from day one, and Hitler was their pawn to see how it would work out. And now that they have had their man trained by Hitler from his youth as Pope now, Ratzinger, he was a Nazi soldier, the tools put in place by the previous Pope, John Paul II, that actually sold cyanide for Hitler, or to Hitler rather, are all about to be administered to all on earth. Now do you see why John Paul II went from nation to nation during his pontificate? It wasn't to spread the gospel because the Lord Jesus never spoke as they do. It's not the gospel they're pushing on the earth. It was to allow for the next pope, who just happened to be a Nazi soldier in his day, the necessary tools by which to make Hitler's dream a global reality. If it wasn't, then explain why all that Hitler taught is being implemented by all governments that have ties with the Vatican. Again, do you need to be a brain surgeon to figure this stuff out? Everything from bombing their own people to generating patriotism to the Patriot Act itself. Now, sure, they say this is all steered towards those they claim as terrorists, and the grand majority of those they target are Muslims. But have you noticed something? You have Muslims from all walks of life now, so anyone can now be tagged a terrorist by the government, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's not like they never lie before, eh? I mean, need I mention the four people they say are terrorists in those obviously doctored photos? As far as I'm concerned, they picked those four guys out of a crowd and turned them into terrorists. How do we know either way? The photos are doctored. We have this proof. It's kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald or even Timothy McVeigh. Did these guys really commit the crimes they were killed for? We may never know for sure, but evidence has been brought forth to suggest that no, they didn't. The enemy of all souls needs to have this option open wide enough to allow him to be used on any Christian who he deems a threat. Any Christian, the Lord gives him permission to attack, that is. Some of us may find ourselves tested in these ways soon enough, and it's mainly because of the footholds we have in our lives now. Trust the Lord, and he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has told unto you in his word, and then speak, and those around you will see the Lord glorified. Some will see him glorified all the way to salvation of their own souls. Sadly, some will see him glorified as did Pharaoh's men just before the Red Sea swallowed them up whole. I mean, the Lord's going to get glory either way. He was awaiting, it even says in Scripture, that he was awaiting for Pharaoh's men to glorify him. And they did. Right before they died, they said, let's get out of here. Israel's God fights for them. That's all he needed to hear. They glorified him. They acknowledged his existence. They said he was doing it. And that was it. That's all he needed. And so the waters came down. No matter what, the Lord is going to be glorified, either by your faith unto life or by your denial unto death. He creates no mistakes. We are all in this together. What side of the fence are you going to be standing on? As for me and my house, we're going to love and serve the Lord. Finishing up the article, it said Britain is also continuing to seek deals with 10 mainly North African countries that would provide for the return of their citizens who are deemed undesirable in the UK. British law forbids the government from deporting people to countries if they might be tortured or face death penalties, which has been prevented some deportations in the past. To remove this problem, Blair said the UK is asking certain countries to promise that deportees won't be tortured. Britain already has an agreement from Jordan, and Blair said there are negotiations in 10 other countries, including Algeria and Lebanon. Can I see a show of hands as to how many actually believe they won't be tortured? This, of course, is all besides the point. If, in fact, they know these people they seek to deport are criminals, then why don't they simply arrest them in Britain? Doesn't this make sense that those they seek to kill, that seek to kill people should be jailed no matter what soil they're standing on? Seeing how they are planning on a one-world government anyway, what's the problem here? Or is it that Blair really wants these guys tortured? I mean, come on, seriously, isn't it in Oxford University that torture is now being tested as we speak, with government, United States government money, and it's supposedly being tested on Christians? I covered it in a couple of radio broadcasts ago. Well, actually, it was quite a few ago. January 23rd, 2005, my Truth Provided broadcast, as well as my newsletter, touched on it. You know, it's not like London is new to torture here. So, do we believe them? Do we believe them at all in regards to whether they really care about these guys? You know, seeing how torture seems to be sanctioned in London, this next article should be of no shock to anyone. Well, no pun intended, but let me just give you the headline before we go to break, as well as a couple of quick comments. The headline reads, this came out on June 16th, 2005. And again, this is one of those articles that ended up on the bottom of the pile because of what was going on, you know, in the world. Everything that was happening. But the headline reads, Child Sacrifices in London. These are a bunch of little boys and stuff that were being brought into London to be tortured in all sorts of strange ways. So, anyway, if you stick around, we will cover this article as well as many more in regards to what's going on in London and around the world. So please stick around for the last half of the Truth Provided broadcast. We'll be back in a few minutes.